What up, folks? How you guys doing? It's your boy, Gray, D-R-E.
Where to begin?
Get ready to start this up. For talking sports with Love Man. Intro rolls one of my favorite songs here. What's going on, guys? It's your boy, D.R.A. Dre, like we talked about before. Talking sports with the 12th man. It's been a couple weeks. I'd probably say 2 weeks. So we apologize, but just due to staying busy and everything like that, haven't had a chance to round up the crew. Once again, I'm still waiting for Rob to join on, so I'm pretty sure he'll be joining us in a couple minutes. The agenda for the day, we've got a lot of stuff going on. Just wanted to recap the NFL draft, which obviously a lot of good things happened, and still kind of a sad time as well because we are still facing the lockout. So we'll talk about that. Also going to touch base, if we have time, about the couple head scratches that you had with the NFL draft. And touch base about the NFL playoffs, a lot of things going on with that. Obviously Miami and Chicago are playing right now, so it's pretty big. And hopefully we get a chance to jump into some college football. So that's kind of the agenda for the night. Obviously with myself, very big into NFL, basketball, some baseball, if you will. So that's kind of like the whole focus of the show. So that's where we're going to lead to it. And like I said, we're not trying to be rude as far as not showing any love for hockey or baseball or anything like that. You know, definitely have a lot of love for that too, but just more or less more towards NFL. So recapping the draft real quick is where we're at. And being a Falcon fan, the biggest thing that the Falcons are coming up with is the trade up of an aggressive move of Thomas Dimitroff trading what we call half the draft to pick up Julio Jones. And it's very tough because if you give up that much for a player, yeah, you pretty much expect him to come in and make an impact or somewhat come in and have a lot of pressure on him to produce. So I've heard a lot of different things about that move. A couple of things that I heard was that, number one, you don't give up that much for a number two receiver. Number two, you don't give that much up for a player who's not, you're not like a Calvin Johnson type player, just a Randy Moss, if you will. So we don't really know. I mean, obviously, he did come from a pro-style system with Nick Saban at Alabama. So, very physical receiver. Him and AJ Green were probably 1A and 1B, depending on the team or the scout that you're talking to. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on with this. Now, if I'm the Falcons, and I know a lot of people, a lot of feedback about this, I'm going to address the more thing about him being a number two receiver. You got to remember that Roddy White is actually – he's in his prime right now. So, I'd say he's probably close to 30 or 29, 30, something like that. So, I'm sure he can keep playing. But the fact that you drafted a number two receiver, I don't think that's the case. Because whenever you look back, and let's say you look at a Marvin Harrison and a Reggie Wayne, you wouldn't say to the Colts, hey, you guys drafted Reggie Wayne as number two receiver. You actually drafted him, and he became that number one receiver. So I don't think it's a good argument at all. So, obviously, we're not saying that, we're not comparing, Julio Jones to Reggie Wayne. I mean, that would be amazing if he actually turned out to be anything close to that. But basically, we're saying that you're drafting a guy, hoping that he moves into that role. You're not just drafting him as number two receiver. Second piece we got to talk about for Julio Jones is that, and like I said, we're not GMs and we're not looking at scouting tape. We're getting all this film. We're adjusting the team. I mean, we're kind of on the outside looking in here. So, as a fan, I do have a lot of trust in what Thomas Dimitroff is doing. What I will say about what Dimitroff is doing is that he's done a really good job of drafting players and kind of fitting pieces in, because now, due to a lot of things going on with free agency, I do think next year, by drafting a playmaker like Julio Jones, and some say you need more defense, you're kind of setting yourself up for next year, that you can draft a player that you can pretty much draft the best available player. And my best available player, as a Falcons fan, I know we have a need for an outside linebacker. We have a need for a defensive end. Obviously, that's a big need. Some say we need another cornerback. We may need another safety or some more depth on the defensive line or big space eater. There's a lot of things. But now, by Thomas Dimitroff going in there and drafting these key players, you know, the Julio Jones and getting the offensive lineman that we had the year before, you're really actually going into 2012 like, man, we really can sit back and say, I want to take the best defensive end. I want to take the best offensive, excuse me, the best outside linebacker. And you really don't have to be forced to making any decisions, you know, like a team, you know, that squanders their picks. So that's why I think it's a very, very interesting thing that Dimitroff has done, because not only have you taken Julio Jones type of player and you supposedly you've given up a lot of players for him, in actuality, you really haven't, because if you have a young team, as the Falcons do, and there's a couple pieces, you know, you got the quarterback and you got, you know, Michael Turner and you got a couple, you know, Jaquizz Rodgers or whatever you want to say, a lot of different moves that you could make. Another thing that I can actually also bring into the forefront is the fact that if you're really not sure how Michael Turner is going to continue to put that wear and tear on his body, same thing as well. And I'm not saying that, you know, you're not going to get a good back within certain picks, but you can go into next year as well saying, hey, you know, we can get another running back that's just as impactful as a Michael Turner, maybe a burner, maybe you can get like a steal or something like that. So I think it's a very good move that Thomas Dimitroff has done at the GM of the Falcons to address those needs that we had. So basically, that's what we're looking at now. And at this juncture, we actually have Rob joining in, so I'm going to go ahead and get him on. And give me a quick second here, and we will grab him on. Oops, I hung up on Rob. Have Rob call back in real quick. So we'll do this again as well as Dre gets acclimated to the whole thing. I didn't mean to hang him up. But that's kind of what I'm looking at right now as far as the whole thing with the draft. And I'm sure we'll get Rob's take because, you know, being a Saints fan, I'm sure Rob is feeling very, very excited about the impact of getting his guy, Cameron Jordan, and also picking up a great running back, if you will, in Mark Ingram. So we'll go from there as he joins us now. So that's kind of, like I said, what we're looking at. Being a fan of the Falcons and the Saints, if you will. So, and as we get, you know, more callers and stuff like that, you know, we'll definitely feel free to add your piece and going from there. So we're actually going to let Rob join in right now. And he is here. And let's get this party started. It hasn't really been this long that I've actually accessed this. Get this party started. Let's try this out here. Yeah. Rob Ford.
Yes, I'm here.
What's going on, sir?
Sorry for the delay. I kind of got caught in the Heat-Bulls game. You know, this is a sports show, so I needed to make sure I'm coming with some full information. So.
Man, what's wrong with you, man? I'm watching the game, and I'm simulcasting the game, man. Come on, man.
Okay.
I'm gonna
step it up.
Man. It's good. we were just kind of going over the NFL draft, and basically, I was just kind of talking about my team, the Falcons, and the move that we made, and Julio Jones, and kind of just recapping as being a fan of the Saints, kind of, you know, how do you think you guys did in the draft and anything that you guys think you could have been better or vice versa? So that's kind of where we're at right now. So,
well, I take it you want me to comment about the Saints?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've talked enough about the Falcons, if you will, so I just want to kind of get your feedback on how you felt the Saints did and are you happy with the outcome?
Well, as much as possible, I don't want to sound too biased, but I have to say I was very pleased with the outcome of the Saints draft. Probably the only thing that I probably would have liked to see the Saints do is maybe get another young defensive tackle. I mean, Sean Rogers in free agency, but maybe would have liked to seen the young defensive tackle in the draft, but – Overall, other than that, I would have to say that I was, very pleased with what they've done. And there are quite a few other teams that, I think did very well in the draft as well. And
that's the thing. We're kind of 2 weeks behind this. But, yeah, continue. Go ahead. I know we're talking about some scratchers and things that you think that could have been done as far as certain teams. But go ahead. I'll let you finish up that thought.
Well, as far as head scratchers is concerned, I would probably say the first head scratcher of the draft came with Tennessee's pick at number 8. That was a huge surprise with them taking the quarterback from Washington at number 8. Pick before that, 7, San Francisco. I didn't really speculate Alden Smith, even though I think he's a very good talent. I didn't speculate he would go that high either. And so at that point in the draft, you started to see some guys fall that you didn't think would fall with some of those reaches there. And
now, who did you think, not to cut you off, but who did you think the 49ers were actually going to going to pick? You thought they were going to pick a quarterback, or where did you think they were going with that pick?
Well, the easy choice would have been for them to go after Blaine Gabbert, but Arizona also passed on Blaine Gabbert. So I think what's going to happen is I think both of those teams think that they can acquire a QB either through free agency or trade. Kevin Cobb will get traded. Donovan McNabb more than likely will get traded. And Vince Young will more than likely get traded. So you got three guys that can possibly be starters. And, maybe those guys did not think Gabbert was the answer for them.
Yeah.
And so maybe they think that they can acquire one of those veteran QB until they can get their QB of the future. And Andrew Luck, the big prize, who was probably better than any quarterback that was in this draft, will probably be in next year's draft. And so we have to wait and see how that shakes out. But I think those teams, I think the 49ers and the Cardinals are a quarterback away from really winning their division with ease.
Wow. Good points. Yeah, I concur with that wholeheartedly as well because even, I'm going to always say that my father-in-law is a big 49er fan, so I don't know if he was happy or kind of upset about the pick of Alden Smith because he seemed to be gearing up defensively and vice versa. So are they like you said, are they kind of like thinking in the back of their mind we can grab one of those free agent quarterbacks? And this is why the lockout does hurt us because, unfortunately, we don't really know what's going to go on. I'm sure that they'd like to get their quarterback and then have them start training and working with the team too. So it's just an interesting scenario as far as that as well.
Mm-hmm. So what did your father-in-law think about the pick?
He was actually pretty excited about everything. Obviously, he liked the direction that they were going. And he was just thinking that he's like, we got to get young, we got to get faster. That's his biggest thing, So
mm-hmm.
That's kind of what his whole thought process was. So, there you go.
You look at that 49ers roster. I'm one of those people that think that they have actually drafted pretty well over the years. It's just that they don't have a quarterback to put everything together. And I think the two missing pieces there in San Francisco was a quarterback and a head coach. But I think that's a roster that has some talent. You look at Vernon Davis, Michael Crabtree, Frank Gore. They've drafted some pretty good offensive linemen. They've drafted some pretty good defensive players. You have Patrick Willis out there. And now you're bringing in Alden Smith. They have Justin Smith. I think that's they would have liked Patrick Peterson to fall to him as well. Corner could be the one position where they can still use some help on the defensive side of the ball. But I think that's a team that has some talent. Yeah, you get the right head coach, the right quarterback with that team. I can easily see them winning that division out west.
Yeah, I'm sure Seattle's going to have something to say about that, even though they won it with an almost 8-8 record or something crazy. So, there you go.
As crazy as this may sound, Seattle won a division last year. But if Arizona and San Fran get some kind of quarterback, I see Seattle finishing last place in that division next year.
Wow.
St. Louis has the quarterback with Bradford now. And I personally think that Seattle may be the last place team in that division. If San Fran and Arizona can get some semblance of a quarterback.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Arizona,
that's
like you said, that's the big if. If they can get some type of quarterback, yeah. So I agree with you heartily. Wow. Okay. Well, like I said, I was talking about you earlier, so you can't talk about me, man, because I'm going to put the show for 15 minutes, man, because I didn't think we were going to be able to talk that long. So, we'll have to come back and do another one a little later on, too. So I don't want to keep you too long, Rob, but I just set it for 15 minutes or 30 minutes. So there you go.
Oh, you're going to set it up for 15 minutes tonight?
Yeah. I didn't know if you're going to get enough time in there, but, So I was talking junk to you, but, I'm over here. I just hit the show long enough, so it's all good. But, so there you go. That's Dre. I got nothing. Anything,
okay.
anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to, lead into or anything like that for the next show or anything like that? I don't want you to feel like I'm always, taking over the show. So if you definitely want to add, if you want to lead or something like that, I can sit back and let you do that as well, too, if you want. So,
I think next week, I don't think we've totally covered the draft yet. I think that's still of some interest to people out there. Free agency, lockout. I think, we can start turning our attentions a little bit of college football. And, we're still right in the heart of the NBA playoffs as well. We give the fans some talk on that as well. And, and there are a lot of other things out there in the sports world to discuss. I think maybe I think maybe we ought to start having a little fun and maybe start breaking down the season and start making some predictions too.
I like it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's funny because like I was telling you the last time, 30 minutes does seem to go by pretty fast. So, I jumped on and I was kind of talking. I was like, oh, okay, I was trying to figure out how I was going to fill time for the first time, and then that's whenever your boy jumped on there with the whatever he was talking about, doing the Falcons versus the Cowboy stuff. So that was kind of a shock, but other than that. Everything has been pretty seamless. Marcy's talking in the background.
It's been about 30 minutes.
It's almost set up for 15 right now. So there you go. All right. She's gonna hear. She wants to hear herself whenever she listens to the shows.
No, I like.
But So watching the I didn't catch, I had the game on, but, how did it look like the Bulls versus the Heat were playing? Were LeBron and D-Wade have a better showing this time or what?
Well, they both had a great first half, and LeBron finished the game off strong and helped them to close it out in the end. But that was one point in that fourth quarter where both teams struggled to score. Both teams were playing great defense. But LeBron hit about two or three, maybe four big shots down there in the last 3 minutes.
I hear your thing in the background. It's funny.
Oh.
That's cool. I hear a little ESPN update in the background. That's cool. No, but like I said, man, and I've got a lot. The Chicago fans always crack me up, man, because they're like, I don't know the word for it. It's like crazy passionate. I mean, it's almost like a step below the Philly fans.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, rest assured, we're going to knock them out. And I was like, okay, And I was like, I'm sure the Heat weren't too happy about game one. I know they were getting beat up in the press. And if Chris Bosh scores 30 points, something's not right. So I don't know if it was just a good game plan by Chicago or just they're kind of all right, they came a little bit more focused. It wasn't going to be the same type of game as the first one, so, it's just interesting, if you will. So that's my little two cents on that scenario.
Do you realize Mel Kiper has a 2012 big board out already?
No. Let's take a peek here. Are you serious? Are you on MelKiper.com or what do you want?
I'm on ESPN.com.
Okay. Take a peek here.
Oh, we all know who his number one prospect is.
I'm going to go and say Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We didn't get a chance to talk about the draft lottery either. What did you think about that? Cleveland getting the number one and the number four pick? What's up with that?
Well, I mean, I know that a lot of people saying that they should go with Kyrie Irving, number one. And I'm one of the people that I kind of like Derek Williams better.
Wow.
And they're
saying that
my
the league is built on point guards, though. Remember that, though. They're saying that most leagues
yeah.
are the way they're, so, you know.
Yeah, well, I guess when you look at it from that standpoint, you take Kyrie Irving, number one. And you could probably get a guy that can play the same position as Derrick Williams at number four. So I guess when you think about it from that standpoint, then maybe you do pick Kyrie Irving and pick a big man. But I was just kind of thinking maybe you can get by with Baron Davis a little while longer. But then again, do you want to rely on Baron Davis?
Yeah, I wouldn't trust him with parking my car. I don't know what's wrong with Baron Davis.
Yeah, other teams that have tried to rely on him, it came back to bite him in the foot.
Wow. This is pretty interesting. A
lot of Crimson
Tide.
He's got three Alabama guys in his top 25. And they just keep putting out the players. And North Carolina's got all these players.
Yeah, North Carolina, that's another one that's pretty interesting as well, man. To see them, like you said, make some pay. But, you know, like you said, Alabama's always going to be putting out good players because of Nick Saban or something like that.
Now, one LSU player in his top 25.
You know what's interesting about this? I'm looking at the same thing that you're looking at. And you could actually quote a limb and say that next year is going to be the year for better quarterbacks. Like you said, Matt Barkley, Andrew Luck. Is Barkley going to be a senior or is he going to be a junior or a senior coming out?
He'll be a junior next year.
He'll be a junior? Oh, wow.
But he completed 62% of his passes as a sophomore.
Wow.
Then you got Landry Jones. He's got three quarterbacks here in the top 10.
You think Landry's going to be a pretty good quarterback? I don't know.
You're going to have to watch more film on him.
Dre Kirkpatrick, that's interesting as well.
Yeah, I kind of knew because he's a tall, rangy cornerback too. Yeah, I knew he would be a pretty good.
Alshon Jeffrey, yep. Who's the guy from Oklahoma State? Justin Blackman. I was really upset that he was coming back. I wanted him to be targeted for the Falcons. That was the guy I thought was going to come back, but, you know. That's my little.
Yeah. Alshon Jeffrey is a beast, though.
Yeah, he's a beast, too.
Man, he almost. I don't know if he has Calvin Johnson's speed, but he has a Calvin Johnson kind of body.
What do you think about Trent Richardson coming out next year?
Well, you know, there's some people think that when he comes out, he'll even be better than Ingram. And matter of fact, I wasn't even reading it, but now that I look at it, they say the same thing.
He said the exact same thing. I was like, now I know where I'll get this stuff from, right there.
No, I really wasn't. I kind of know it after I said it.
Yeah,
I think Ingram might have a little bit of Emmitt Smith in him, but you know, Emmitt Smith wasn't extremely fast. He was just one of those smart, read-his-blocks kind of player. And I think Ingram is the same kind of player. But I think Trent Richardson has explosion. He has explosion.
Mm.
He's probably a better athlete than Mark Ingram.
Wow. Yeah, like I said, you know, they're definitely giving him a lot of love. 5'11", you know, so we'll see how he stacks up, you know, because they're thinking he's like the complete package, if you will. So yeah, interesting. I like how they've got a couple people that I don't really know. This Vontaze Burfict, whatever his cat's name is, and. You know, you're trying to wrap your head around these guys that he's got or that Mel Kiper has got, you know. So we'll see how this plays out. Wow. Andre Branch. And he's got this cat, Quentin Copels, going pretty high. Wow.
WalterFootball.com has got a 2-round mock draft for next year already.
Wow.
He's got Andrew Luck on number 1 to Washington. He's got Matt Barkley on number 2 to Seattle.
Do you think Washington's going to be that sorry next year?
He's got Elshon Jeffery on number 8 to Carolina. Obviously, the Saints know the Falcons have a first-round pick next year.
Wow.
As of right now, it is.
He's got a not having a pick, or what does he have?
Who?
You said, what does Walter Football have for the Falcons?
I said the Saints nor the Falcons have a first-round pick next year.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, I spent the first part of the call talking about the whole thing I felt with Julio Jones and you know, everyone's thoughts about you spent all that for a number 2 wide receiver. And I was like, well, you really can't say that, because if you go back in time, remember whenever the Colts drafted Reggie Wayne? I mean, and they had Marvin Harrison already on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't say that, you know, that they were drafting. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you draft and you're just kind of enhancing what you already have. Now, eventually, after Marvin Harrison lost the step and Reggie Wayne stepped in and became the number 1 wide receiver. So, you know, I'm saying that Roddy White is in his prime. It's the same type of scenario. So you hope that Julio Jones will actually step into the prime, or step into his role and become like that number 1 receiver eventually too. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Same type of scenario. But speaking of you, they were talking about, I know a lot of guys, Gil Brandt was comparing Mark Ingram to Emmitt Smith, and you know, he thinks he's going to have a great career. So I'm sure Saints fans are very excited to see what he's going to bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we can talk about that more later on, but that was just one of the things that I noticed.
Yeah, the Falcons taking Now Davis, running back from Arkansas in the second round of next year's draft.
Ironically, well, I was talking about that as well, too. I was saying that, you know, everyone's upset about the pick, but we're not inside GMs or anything like that. We're not doing all the scouting, getting all those reports. But I am impressed with how the Mitchell has kind of built the team, you know, because now you can literally go into, and I actually mentioned that earlier, you can say, you know, I'm going to draft the best available player, whether that's a defensive end, whether that's an outside linebacker, or whether that's a running back, because you never know if Michael Turner is kind of, you know, getting long on the tooth. Mm. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you literally have you made yourself a lot better, because you've actually set back and you kind of eliminated that one need. You said, I'm good with this, and you can kind of look to, literally you can say, I'm looking at the best player available at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.